I was in a place where I couldn't drive for Uber enough or teach enough lessons or pick up enough random gigs to make my bank account equal zero. I could have folded and been like, I'm going to move back home or do something that would be more comfortable. But I really believe that I'm supposed to be doing this. I believe that I'm capable of doing it. And if not this, what else am I going to do? Turn. Baby, I just want to take it on out. And if you want to, we can go right now. And we can take all night getting lost.
We're here with Ben Wood from Music Lab Nashville. Episode 11, which was a long time ago, but we're going to try something new this time. We're not doing a full featured guest interview, so definitely, if you don't know Ben or if you want to learn more about him and what he's doing with Music Lab, definitely check out episode 11. But today we're trying to do something a little bit different and kind of dive into a specific topic, something that has been on his mind lately, and I think a lot of drummers, and maybe a topic that doesn't get talked about, you know, enough, which is mental health and touring and kind of that work-life balance, right? So
yeah,
we're stoked to have you back. And of course, it's kind of the purpose of the podcast platform to talk about those things.
So yeah, man, we haven't actually talked in a hot minute. How have you been?
It's been good. Yeah. Busy, yeah. But good.
I know Music Lab is just always, always, always growing. And I'm just so freaking, so pumped. I knew that that would be the thing. As soon as you talked about doing it, I was like, this is going to just pop. I'm so pumped for this.
Yeah. It's weird. Since my last time being on this podcast, I feel like that was a big solidification of like, oh, here's Ben and he is a drummer and he owns this music school. And I get all kinds of people that know about the school, have listened to the episode and stuff, almost to a fault because I have other drum instructors that I'm always trying to fill their schedules. Yeah. And people will hit me up and be like, hey, we want to take drum lessons. And I'm like, how about going with Chris or Brandon or Pierce or whatever? And they're like, no, we listen to your podcast.
Dude, that's awesome.
You're the guy. Take lessons with you. I was like, I don't have that. I'm like, okay.
But that's cool.
Yeah, it's like I want – my priority is first to try and fill the instructor schedules.
So. Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's like it's kind of crazy how the school has grown even more. Last time I was on, I thought it was good. Now I'm like – it sucked back then. Yeah. Like,
what was I thinking?
We were just coming out of like the cutting our teeth kind of phase. So I was just in relief to like not be broke all the time, but to like actually be like, oh, we have like some cash flow and we can do things.
Well,
and
I mean, because you were at our first sponsor, and it got to the point where you're like, yeah, I think I could do that. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, well, yeah, well, great. This is awesome. And the stuff we're talking about now is on a completely different level. This is like, it's just all of it is so freaking exciting to watch and be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So before we dive into that, let's just kind of set the scene, maybe just introduce who you're playing with, just a brief thing about Music Lab for those that, you know, aren't familiar, and then we can kind of dive in.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, my name is Ben Wood. I'm originally from California, moved to Nashville like 7 years ago, and currently I own a music school called Music Lab Nashville. I play for a country artist. His name is Trey Landon, and there's a whole wild story behind both of those two things, which you can listen to in my other podcast, where I say and like about 10,000 times, but...
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's pretty much my background, I think, right?
Yeah.
Am I missing anything?
Yeah, that's obviously a very brief encapsulation, but yeah.
Yeah, so Music Lab Nashville is our first sponsor, which we cannot be more grateful for and appreciative. Just kind of give a brief overview of the school and maybe what's going on, you know, this summer and for those that might be interested in signing up their kids.
Yeah, 100%. We just had our showcase, which is like a very glorified and reimagined version of what your normal like music school's recital would be. We have it like really take on the whole show vibe and just create a cool, fun, professional environment. And it went really, really well. This is my favorite one that we've ever done. We did two of them in the same day, which was yesterday. And went super good, and I heard multiple times the same kind of comment, which is basically like why I started my school, or like the whole thing I'm kind of chasing after, is I had multiple people come up to me being like, I hope these kids know how lucky they are, because like when I was 10 years old or when I was, you know, coming up, like I never had this opportunity. And like these kids like have this opportunity because we shoot music videos for them and stuff now. And like they have this cool opportunity to perform in a sold out venue and stuff. So Yeah, I heard that same comment multiple times, and I was like,
that's
okay,
super cool.
Yeah, it just feels like, yeah, again, I'm in a place right now where I feel like everything is kind of coming together, you know?
Yeah. And the school opened, what, just a few years ago? Right?
2 years ago, May 9th, May 8th, or something like that.
Yeah.
So just over 2 years now.
Yeah, it's cool to see crazy. That growth. You know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So yeah, in that episode, which again, definitely check it out if you haven't, but we talked, of course, the backstory of how he got a lot of the gigs that he's on now, specifically the Trey Landon gig, which is your main gig, of course. So why don't we kind of start there maybe with, because that kind of leads into what we want to discuss of, you know, that balance and mental health with, you know, touring and coming off the road and especially for you having to own a business, not just have another job.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, having a wife and
yeah,
being a person, all those things, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a balance. And I think that, like, you know, again, a lot of people around me, they're like, I don't know how you do it with, like, the school and with touring, not only with Trey, but with all the other artists that I've played with before and stuff. And then not to mention, yeah, again, like having a wife and all that kind of stuff. It is a bit of a balancing act. And the main thing that I kind of want to talk about today is like all of those things, like I feel like are just going so well for me. My life's not really hard at the moment. Like it's really not. Like yeah. I love my life and it seems like it's just going to keep getting better. And I'm sure that there will be struggles and trials and all kinds of things that come my way. But I feel like a lot of people see this where I'm at now and they don't see the years and years of eating shit.
Well, yeah, you've had the challenges to get to that point.
That it took to get there. Yeah. And I think that that process is like kind of what I want to shed light on because I feel like in Nashville, I'll just specifically talk about the drum community. When I talk to people, there's this overarching like, oh yeah, I got it, I'm good. And you're like trying to like front and be like, yeah, I'm doing more than I'm really doing and whatever. And I feel like it's not... It's like if you're like, I'm struggling to pay my rent or I don't have any gigs. I feel like I suck at drums. Like I feel like really discouraged.
Yeah.
That's seen as like some kind of failure or indictment of you as a human being and stuff. I hear that all the time. It's just like anytime someone's like, you know, struggling, they're like, oh yeah, it's like, you know, I wish I could be in your position. It's like, dude, you are in my position. You're just in my position 5 years ago.
Right.
Right.
You know, like
just earlier in that journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, that's really what I want to talk about is that whole concept of, and I don't know how much you guys want to get into it or what your guys' exact experience looks like. But for me, it's like, whether it be just through telling a couple stories or talking about it a little bit more conceptually, my experience in Nashville has not been easy. We could start with COVID or we could start even before COVID where it was maybe even harder for me.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I guess, the thing I want to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Start wherever you like, man.
Yeah.
Just dive right in.
Let's do it. So I moved to Nashville and I felt like I had a really fortunate bounce right off the rip because I moved to Bellevue. Which if you're a drummer and you want to move to Nashville and you're like, where should I move? Move to Bellevue. It's beautiful. It's not that expensive. Close to town. I love Bellevue so much.
It's true. Bellevue is
Bellevue's awesome.
Yeah.
And I moved to these apartment buildings and across the street, almost literally, was this music store. And my friend had actually moved before me and he walked in and was like, hey, my friend's a drum instructor and he's moving to town and he's going to need a job. And the manager was like, great. And then it was like, I kind of got this teaching job, like kind of right off the rip. But after that, it was not, there was no more good bounces. You know, right. I had people that I had met before that were like, oh yeah, I'm going to like get you connected with this guy. They wouldn't return my call. It was like very, very quickly I found out, you know, okay, wow, all this momentum that I had built out in California and a lot of these connections that I had made, my two best friends also lived in the same apartment building. Within 6 months, both of them moved back home to California.
Wow.
So now I'm out here by myself being like,
what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah. Like, what am I going to do? And newly married and just being like, oh, crap. So, and I was teaching a little bit, but I didn't have nearly enough students to pay my bills. I was driving for Uber and Lyft, which I did intentionally because I was like, I'm going to do this and try and meet a bunch of people. Like use this as a vehicle of trying to get gigs and stuff. Literally. Instead of necessarily going down to Broadway and like trying to gig a bunch, I was like, maybe I can just meet people a little bit organically and teach. And I don't know why I had that idea, but it's funny that whole Uber situation actually directly led to the Trey gig, which is, there's like a whole weird backstory there. But I mean, ultimately it's like, I didn't get a single, I played in my first year in Nashville, I played one gig and it was with this duo. And I'm not going to say their name because it was so bad. It was so horrifically bad. It was at the local in Midtown. Mm-hmm. You guys know that venue?
Yeah. Yep.
Played there. I played that and I was just like, that was my first gig in Nashville. And I was like, this sucks. These artists suck. I suck. Like,
yeah, and I've
been in Nashville for a year and it's like, what am I doing, dude?
And
like,
what was your calling at that point? Were you trying to get on a big tour?
Yeah, I was like, I moved to Nashville trying to be like, I'm going to be get hired by all these people. And I didn't move necessarily being like, I'm just going to like meet people. I knew a bunch of people and I feel like, felt like a bunch of those people just like, once I showed up, were like, no.
they weren't as resourceful as you thought they would be.
Yeah, no, not at all, not at all. And that's, you know, that's not
an uncommon experience.
Yeah,
unfortunately, that's just and I don't think that's anything. I don't think anybody obviously has like intentions of being like that. I think a lot of them think like, yeah, I will hook that person up. Yeah, I really love that guy. Yeah, blah blah blah. That would be, you know, you come out here and I'll help you.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them, when it comes down to it, either really don't know how to do that.
Right.
Or they're like, well, actually, I guess I don't have as much pull as I thought I did.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, and maybe not enough attention either. Like, I'll get around to that. Yeah. Okay. But then I also have to live my weird, complicated musical life.
But then they're trying to do the same thing.
Right. You know? They're like, man, I'm also waiting for so-and-so to hook me up on that. Like, there's so much of that happening all the time. It's just...
You guys think it's almost a benefit to move to a city like Nashville and knowing nobody? Because then you're like, you're just kind of fresh and you could get to know people and quote-unquote network. And
I mean, if you have like no friends, nothing to fall back on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess it would. Also, people just get busy as well, you know.
Yeah.
And people are living their own lives and doing all their own stuff. And I mean, I know that I'm, you know, I don't think that there's any instances where I'm like, oh, bro, I'm going to put you on. And then I just like don't return somebody's call. But like, you know, I've had people hit me up before and I was like, I'm just straight up so busy. And I'll tell people that though is the difference. I'm like, I'm really busy. We will get together, but it's like, you know, I can't be like your source of like, we're gonna.
Yeah, you can't solve.
Yeah, I can't solve all your issues and stuff. Yeah. But like, that's one of the things that I feel like with the platform. And again, like ultimately, just put this out there. I don't think I'm the most successful or know-it-all guy in town. I just am in a point in my life where I freaking love it. Yeah. Like, I love it. I wouldn't trade my gig for anyone else's or just my life in general. The school, the people that I get to be around, everybody. Like, I love it. And I think that that's making it, to me, at least.
Yeah,
at this point in my life, like, that's what I think it is. If you can move here and you're playing drums, or you're a guitar player or whatever, and you wake up every day and you're like, dang, my life kind of rocks. You know, like I'm excited to do what I'm doing. Is that not?
And that could be, to that point, it could be as small or big to public perception. Like that doesn't mean you're on a big gig.
Yeah.
You know, that can mean you're playing church once a week and you go home to your amazing family.
Yeah.
And you're doing others. Like it's like this big puzzle we're all trying to chase.
Yeah.
And there's different levels to that.
Yeah.
You know? I wanted to ask. So, I mean, you're at that place now, which is fantastic. And I think you're having the right mindset about that because, you know, it would be easy. A lot of people could be in that same position and be like, yeah, but what's next? But when do I make it? And you said, you're like, it is making it. And I've, in my position playing downtown all the time, I've had several instances where people, well-intended people, but audience members would be like, I think you're going to make it, man. I'm like, I think I have.
Yeah.
Because I like what I'm doing and I'm making a great living.
Yeah.
I think I've made it. And I'm like, I think that's what it is. I'm like, do
and
I
only
want
you get to define that. You right. know, yeah. Other people have opinions, but.
Yeah. I'm like, is there other stuff I want to do? Absolutely. Yeah. Unquestionably. But I'm like, but I would call this making it. That's what I would say. But the question I want to ask is, when you weren't there, when you were eating shit, how did you get through it?
Just, I have been very introspective the past couple weeks because of the whole Music Lab 2-year anniversary and stuff. And I looked at a post that I posted the day that I lost my job at World Music in 2020 because the store closed because of COVID. Again, we've told that whole story in the last time I was on the episode. And just the words that I was writing, I was just like, it like gives me chills just talking about it today, because like I remember sitting and crying and typing in my teaching room the last time I was in it was empty. Sitting there and crying.
Wow,
and
man.
But the one thing that I knew was like, you know, that I had to believe in myself, because that's all I had left. It was like that. If you don't do that, no one else is going to ever believe in you.
Yeah.
You know? And I just believed in that process and bet on myself and, you know, had no ego about my playing or my last at bat. I was just like, I'm going to keep that process going, and I know that it's going to work out. And there's no reason that I should have known that I was going to work out. Like, same thing. I mean, like, even before COVID and stuff, just when I was still trying to get established, it's like I felt like I was in a place where I couldn't drive for Uber enough or teach enough lessons or pick up enough random gigs to make my bank account equal zero at the end of the month. I mean, straight up, like, you want the real transparency. There was one month where I had a freaking note slapped on my door, and they were like, if you don't pay your rent in 5 days, we are going to start the eviction process.
Wow.
And I was like,
yeah.
That's yikes.
Scary. Wow. Yeah.
You know, there's so many people I won't even talk about other people. I could have folded and been like, I'm going to move back home or do something that would be more comfortable and stuff. But I really believe that, like, you know, I believe I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that I'm capable of doing it. And that this is, it's like, if not this, what else am I going to do?
Right.
You know?
I love
and
that.
The one thing I've learned is like, I've talked to instructors that work for me now that are like newer to town and we're growing their schedule and stuff. And they've encountered some similar financial issues and stuff. And like the one thing, when you're in it, it's so hard to see anything else. Money issues are the absolute worst. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
But when you're in it and you're like, you can't see anything else around you, like, looking back on it all retrospectively, if you're working hard, it typically has a way of working itself out.
Yes.
I don't know how I can't even, when they put that note on my door, I don't know where the money came from.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It was
I figured
flight,
it out, you know? I didn't actually get evicted.
Yeah.
The thing is, one, there's nothing quite like desperation to make you innovative.
Yeah.
And when you're like, I am going to be homeless and I'm married. My wife and I will be homeless. That pressure, there's literally zero substitute for that on the planet. When you have that, that's how diamonds are formed.
Yeah, that's like, what I was going to say. Cliche. I was like, that's the cliche.
Like, but like
pressure.
That's come
pressure
up so heat, much baby. On this podcast when we talk to people. And I think that's obviously an extreme example. We're not advocating to get, you know, like toy with being homeless or anything, of course. But
yeah.
Having that desperation to.
And the thing is, when you have that, you know, if it is in your life, I guess the thing that I would want to say is, there's a time to evaluate and maybe go, maybe I should retreat. Maybe I should go and get another, like just get a regular job, do whatever. Because not everyone who plays drums needs to do it for a living, period. End of story. There's no question. But if it's really right for you and that's really what you want, there's a time to evaluate and go, should I get a new job or do I burn the boats?
Yeah.
Do I go, I'm doing this or I'm going to die. Like, that's, and there's,
yeah.
And that's, again, I'm not saying which is for which person, but figure it out for yourself.
Yeah, part of that introspectiveness that you talked about is so huge, because only you can really understand that. And
and you know, whether it be a financial thing or whatever, I mean, I think that, you know, if you really want to be an artist or a working musician and stuff, like, I mean, it's going to require a certain level of sacrifice. And sometimes that sacrifice is really hard.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that, like, if it takes me speaking up about it here or whatever, like, I would like to start a conversation of people in Nashville, whether it just be drummers or whatever, just being able to, like, be like, hey, I'm just literally just say the words, like, hey, I'm struggling. Because imagine going through, like, that stuff of, like, you know, I don't need to imagine it. I lived it. I'm like losing your job in 2020, or not being able to pay your rent, or all kinds of crazy things, and not being able to even say the words.
Yeah.
Man, this is really hard for me. You have to, like, oh, what's up, Dan? Oh, dude, I'm doing so well. Kind of, like,
exactly.
You're crying on the inside. Yeah. Like, ah.
Well, I think back to COVID, you know, a silver lining is just, I feel like mental health and therapy and all that has been normalized, you know, like, would you agree? I mean, and did you ever find yourself having to go that route during that first year? It sounds like you had a supportive family and you know, and your wife. Did you ever try therapy or even like a coach, you know, maybe
no,
a drummer here in town?
Because I have that community around me of people that, like, I probably should do therapy.
I think we all should.
All kinds of things, but you know, I go to church. Not as much as I should. Shout out to Legacy Nashville. If you're looking for a church in Nashville, go to Legacy Nashville. And then I have, you know, from Serge Lysak to a bunch of people. Like, I have
those,
like, mentors
yeah.
that are constantly checking in on me. Obviously, I have my wife, Ayla, as well, which is, like, here's another tip. If you're sitting in Minnesota right now and you are thinking about moving to Nashville and you have a girlfriend or boyfriend or whoever, marry that person and then move with them. That's what I did. Yeah. And dude, like, dual income is sick.
Yeah, dual income is awesome.
And you have at least, like, some stability.
Oh,
right?
My gosh. Especially if they're like a nurse or something. Like,
hey, yeah.
Shout out to Casey Strauss, Derek Strauss's wife.
He's not medical money.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, like, I had that community around me, but, you know, it ultimately, regardless, it's like you can do all the therapy or you can have all the right people in your life and the world and stuff. But that doesn't change the fact that you're going to be the one that has to figure it out when those times get tough. And like, you know, just being able to be transparent about it. And then, because it's like, if you can't be transparent about it with yourself enough to where you can just say it to one trusted person or somebody, you know, that you know and have, like, relationship with, like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, that community is so important, and individual friends, you know, group setting, whatever that is to you.
Yeah, and I think that that's what I loved about the Sacramento drum culture.
Yeah,
is that it was all, like, everybody knew each other and stuff, and Nashville's the same way. It's just a different thing too, because there's so many more and so many different people. But, like, I would like us to collectively all try and move in a direction of where we're, like, advocating for each other and supporting each other. And, you know, and because I don't view a single drummer in town as my competition, right? Like, Nate Sletner is one of the best drummers I know. And, you know, and, like, there's, like, a lane for him and there's a lane for me.
That's why he's not my competition.
You're
too good.
Yeah. Like, oh, shucks, guys.
it's like college graduate, and me and him are in, like, kindergarten. We're still, like, figuring it out.
Yeah.
Not to say that you're not a really good drummer, too, because you're a really good drummer as well. But, yeah, I don't know. What was I? Where was I going? I started talking about what a good drummer you are. And
I don't know. Keep going. It's great.
How you have a deal with Meinl and I don't.
I think that is
pissed about it.
You know,
actually, that's I don't want to cut you off, but that story ties into my own mental health struggle. Mm. We'll get to that in two seconds. If I want to let you say what you're going to say.
What was I even going to say? I mean, I think just in general, I appreciate you being open to discuss this stuff. and your individual story. And I think I've definitely been feeling it, maybe because I'm turning 30 this year, and it's like I feel pressured to like figure things out. And like, mm-hmm. I've opened up to you, Nate, about some of my struggles. And I think even on one of the last podcast episodes, it was with Matthew Krause. And again, like having those mentors, like he's been a great friend to me. Like individually, I've been able to say like, yeah, like I don't have any upcoming gigs. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what I want.
Yeah.
I think that's also special about this community. I've been able to get coffee individually with specifically drummers. And like, yeah, it's never felt like competition. It's, if anything, yeah. I walk away from that with more, you know, I feel better about talking about it, or yeah. I'm, you know, more resourceful and I can help them out with something. They know to kind of look around for different gigs, opportunities for me as well. And, but yeah, it all starts with a conversation, you know, yeah. so I'm grateful yeah. for you guys and this community.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, and both of you have been that for me. And that also, I mean, I'm just going to go back into my little story with struggling over, not now, but definitely several years ago, I was in just dire straits. You guys both know, because we talked about it a fair amount, but my marriage was on the rocks. I was a hair's breadth from being divorced. Like, it just wasn't working. The music thing wasn't working for me. I was like, I literally had a conversation. Well, I had a conversation with you in this hallway.
Yeah.
Telling you this stuff.
It's doorway right here.
Literally outside of this door. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to live in this room. I think I'm going to start sleeping in here because we're getting separated. Shit sucks. And you were like, hey, we're going to be out of town for Christmas. You're like, just, if you need a place, just crash at my place. Just having, just knowing that that was an option for me was so, so calming for me. It gave me so much sanity and so much peace.
Yeah. Like,
somebody cares and will do a thing. Like, it's not going to break them to help me out. And like, if that's what I need, thank God it didn't come to that. I was able to get a place. I was able to make things work. I had my job at the time working at Daddy's Dogs provided enough that I was able to get myself a place. I had a conversation with God. I was like, hey, so I guess music is not the thing for me, right? Because this is not working. Right. So if you want me to, I give up. Ready to give it up. And then I got a phone call from Forrest Rice saying, hey, man. And I had told him some of this stuff too. I had said this whole thing. And I told him I paid in music. So I feel like I've invested, like it's a bank account, for so many years, so much, and it hasn't paid me back. I told him this months and months before this. I get a call. He says, hey, Meinl wants to work with you.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Goosebumps. Like,
and he goes, I figured if anyone could use a win right now, it would be you. It's time for music to pay you back.
Let's go.
I literally, like, I'm getting emotional talking about, I love you, Forrest. You're awesome. You've been such a good friend to me. That moment was such a life changer. And I'm like, the reality of like having a symbol endorsement doesn't like change your life and make you suddenly a successful musician. That's like that yeah. idea is nonsense.
Yeah.
But it was such a giant leg up for me in that like it was somebody reaching down and helping me out yeah. of this like emotional pit yeah. that I was in. I just needed that. And I'm like, okay. Heard. I won't give up. I won't give up yet. I'm going to figure out how to do it better, how to do it smarter, and most importantly, less wastefully. Because I was like, I feel like I've practiced a million different random things. I'm like, I'm going to fucking focus
yeah.
and I'm going to do the shit that I don't want to do, which is go out and meet people and like force myself to network and really understand that because yeah. that was the most alien thing to me. I'm like, I just want to stay in my room and practice.
Yeah.
Useless.
Yeah.
It's great if you just want to build chops, which I did. I'm not sad about the chops. I'm just like, I spent so many fucking years just fucking off in my room on practice pads. When I literally could have been playing full time years ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my experience. And thank God there have been a lot of things that have led to, spoiler alert, my marriage has become a success story. We were able to, you guys both know this. Yeah. I'm just, for everyone listening, thank God we were able to work out everything. And that was largely because I got my shit together mentally and emotionally. And it was, that pressure, the realization that my drumming is not substandard or non-satisfactory. My performance as the husband was not satisfactory. Mm. I was not doing the things that I needed to do to accomplish the things I said I wanted to accomplish. And that was eating at me and her.
And so, yeah. And I think that there's something to that as well, that like, you know, it's very common that if something's not right, like up here or yes. in here, like the drumming or the career or whatever, if you're like, there's something not going right here and stuff, it's usually because you're not looking at yourself honestly and yes. being like, what's actually going on here? Do I have an issue with pride or ego or anger or whatever it may be? Like, what is preventing me from getting to whatever my goal is and stuff? Yes. And then those issues transcend and they take over every issues of every right. area of your life. Yeah. You know, it's really, not just yeah. drumming.
It spreads like a cancer.
Marriage, really. Friendships, whatever. Yeah. What'd you say?
I just said, yeah, it spreads like a cancer.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard the expression or just the idea that mental health is physical health.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and I know that more than most. I mean, I currently deal with digestive issues and I don't need to get into that now, but like when I'm stressed, I do not feel well. Mm. It's not just mentally, like I'm, yeah, you know, yeah, I have trouble eating. Like it sucks. It's the whole yeah. thing.
Right. So your brain is literally going to dictate your body. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like the answer to that, you know, I think is just really believing that you have worth. And aside from drumming, and that's the thing that I think that is so interesting about musicians, it's because they walk around like absolute dickheads a lot of the time. And they do it because they can play a piece of wood with some metal strings attached to it, or because they're good at playing cylinders really well. It's like, dude, your worth as a human being is not because you are a really good drummer. Your right. worth as a human being is because you have worth as a human being.
The wild part is that even a lot of your professional worth yeah. as a drummer isn't from just the drumming.
Yeah.
Like, and we talked about that at length on yeah. your episode.
Yeah.
Like that's when you dive into that, you're like, yeah. man, if you're acting like a dick
yeah.
because you can really play, fuck you.
Yeah.
That means next to nothing.
Yeah.
Get your life right. Be a good person.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about basketball on this podcast. Like the fact that Steph Curry can, you know, put a ball through the net.
Right.
Nobody really cares. But right. it's like, what does that mean? It's like, you know, whether it's his platform or he can provide for his wife and right. kids and do charity. Like the basketball or drumming is just the tool. It's just the outlet that we can express ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
I had one of my instructors. I won't say his name because I don't want to embarrass him, but he's an awesome guy. Newer to town. I think he's going to do really, really great things in town. He came to me and he was like, he was gigging down on Broadway and somebody just berated him over a train beat, I think it was. I think that whole situation, and I talked to him for a while about it and I was like, that whole situation it's so telling of what your mindset should be as a musician, because he was like, dude, I suck. Like, do I suck at drums? Am I just worthless? And that's the thing. I was like, dude, like, first off, you need to be so mentally strong up here that this guy, like him being mean or critiquing you or whatever that looks like, because it sounds like he was pretty rude, that needs to be like,
it's not going to touch him.
Not right? not yeah. touch you. But at the same time, you have to have the self-awareness. On the other side, if you think there's any truth about that,
yes.
to where your train beat is a little bit whack,
yeah.
I feel so bad about myself. Somebody said something that, you know, whatever. Go in there. What's the answer? Go in there and put the work in.
Yes.
Show up to that gig next time and be like,
dude, yeah, just crush it the next time.
Just crush it. You have that power to do that. And for me, that's inspiring. People can get discouraged and be like, oh, this dude, and he had this. It was like some bass player too. It's like, if a bass player said anything to me about my musicianship, I'd be like, you're a bass player, my friend. Just kidding. Yeah. I know so many really,
listen,
really good
four bands. Strings.
Yeah, listen there. Strings. You can't even play. You're missing a couple of strings from a normal guitar.
I won't drop his name now, but I was talking to, maybe I've even said it on the
We're just like sub-talking about all these drummers.
Well, this guy I met in my first couple of months here, very, very well-known drummer, has had some giant gigs. 100% you know exactly who he is and who he's played for. But he was talking about a time he auditioned and another guy got it, who's also a big name. And they told him, they're like, hey, just want you to know you sucked. But we're going to give you a chance to audition again after this tour.
What the heck?
He goes, I made it up in my mind that I was going to practice so hard that they were going to wonder why the fuck they ever went with so-and-so. Yeah. I was like, love where your head's at. Great.
Like last podcast, nothing can take the place of hard work.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Like, you know, with any critique, there's probably something there. It's probably just expressed in the wrong way. So then your pride takes over.
And that's also somebody that doesn't have their head on straight. I don't know. Yeah. I've never been in a situation where I've played with anybody to where I've like gone and I don't care enough. Like, especially on like some whatever gig, I'm like, you know, you just don't say anything. And then like next, whoever is the band leader will be like, hey, we got to not hire that guy next time.
Yeah.
But like if someone's coming up to you and just berating you, like, you know, that, why would you let their toxic mindset affect you in your own struggles? And you're going through enough. And
they have no idea where you've come from.
You're trying to figure it out and you're trying to get gigs and meet people and whatever. And like, you know, those kinds of comments and those kinds of words like hang over your head. And it's like, you can't even walk up to somebody at freaking Red Door and be like, hi, my name's Ben, I play drums, like, what's up, you know? Because it's like, well, should I even tell this person? Because what if they have this opinion about my playing and that kind of stuff?
So. Yeah. And here's what I truly believe. I think you can have a sort of competitive mindset without, one, letting it destroy your relationships with other people and, like, I got to be better than them. Like, you can have that in yourself and go, you know what? I see what they're doing. I want to do that and I want to do it even better. I don't want to like end them. I still want them to, you can want all your friends and your people to succeed. Part of my own competition in my heart is like I want my crew to rise. Like I want that. It makes me feel good when my people are winning. I'm like, yes, this is awesome.
Sammy Potts said that perfectly on her episode.
Yeah, you know,
like,
dude.
The difference between here and LA specifically, like we all rise together, you know?
Yes.
Like when you get to the top, it's what you say is a plateau or the peak versus plateau. Or,
mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She nailed it. She's awesome. But I totally had a point to that. God only knows what I was getting.
Sorry,
at.
I interrupted.
God only knows.
God is actually like,
let me say this. I think that it's really cool being in Nashville for 6 years now, and you've been in town about that? Between like,
7 in November,
Like you, and I think it's 7 for me in February.
Yeah.
It's cool to me to like kind of say like Nashville is a 5-year town type of thing. Like it's kind of cool to see, I'll exclude myself because I mean, I still feel like I'm so low as far as where I expect myself to go, but like it really feels cool to like see you and a bunch of other guys. It's kind of weird how it works out. It's everybody that I know that moved here around the same time. It's like everybody's starting to kind of come into their own.
Yes.
And it's none of us have like necessarily arrived, but it's like, you can tell, it's like, okay, the things that we were talking about happening and trying to put in motion, they're happening now.
Right.
Like and it took 5 years for those things to even like start happening. Like sometimes it's a little bit more recent. It feels very good. And sometimes it feels just as good to have that success yourself as it does to just like see somebody else do it, you know, and be like, wow, like, dude, like when Meinl was posting, it's a practical example. When Meinl was posting all those, like for the silent cymbals and the dual stuff, like you were on Meinl's feed like every day and stuff for a minute there.
I think I have like 8 more of those videos coming. And then 4 Fly Information video.
Yeah. Literal dream stuff for me. And so like getting to watch you do it, it's like inspires me to like keep going and stuff. Cause like I still have goals of getting endorsements with Meinl and whoever, but like, you know, it's like, I think it's really, really cool to like see those things starting to come to fruition.
You use your peers' success as fuel for yourself. Even if you're, you know, not where you want to be, but look at your friends and that community and grow from there, you know?
Yeah. Well, I told, and the thing is like, and don't hide that from your friends. If your friend, and this is, here's a mental health tip for you. If your friend gets a gig that you wanted, I mean, don't be a dick. Don't be like, my buddy Joel Turcotte got a gig that I was like, yo, I would be such a freaking hater if I didn't tell you straight up how jealous I am. That's awesome. I'm so glad. You're a great fit.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Would I like that? Hell yeah, I'd like to do that. Am I pumped that you're doing it? 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
And that probably makes you feel better. And we've talked about like the jealousy as well. Like pay attention to what you're jealous of. Because it actually signals probably what you want.
Right. You know? And what you should go toward.
Yeah.
Right.
But being so open to that friend to tell them how great it is, I feel like that's kind of like counters jealousy.
Yes. You know?
It's almost like medicine.
Yeah.
Like you're not getting 100%. You're never jealous. But like you probably feel humble and grateful, and I'm sure they appreciate that too.
Yeah.
It just feels so much better to like, you know, feels so much better to actually support people. So then when you do have trials and tribulations and all that kind of stuff, like you have people to fall back on, and like it's not like it's you versus the world and stuff. Like I don't know. That's such a strange mentality when people, when you see people that carry that. It's like, when I'm thankful that Nashville is much more of like a handshake kind of community vibe than like say LA and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like in LA, it's, you get the dude, it's like he's walking in the room and talking about every single thing that he's done, and then walking out of the room talking about himself. And it's just like, dude, I'm not here to like steal your stuff.
Right.
You're way bigger, better than me, you know?
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Personally, I'd rather talk about the things that the people that I love and respect are doing. I'm like, I'm not that interesting. I see my friends as like superheroes. I'm like, they're all like doing the coolest stuff. Dan's doing, he's doing this and you're doing this. I can gush about my friends for hours.
Yeah. That's probably the biggest reason I love doing this podcast, you know?
Yeah.
We're recording this on Mother's Day, and I just shared a thing from Kaylee Moyer. She was on, did this whole campaign with Southwest Airlines because it was like a pilot and co-pilot, mother-daughter, the first time that's happened.
Whoa. Did I see that on TikTok today?
Probably, yeah.
I saw her doing stuff on Southwest.
And I guess
awesome.
Kaylee is connected with, she's playing some, with some country artist in Nashville.
Yeah, I saw that
on TikTok
today.
Like Honey County, I believe.
Yeah.
And so it was like a flight from Nashville to New York, and they surprised, and they performed on the flight. It was like a whole thing. I'm like, let's go. And that,
imagine being awesome on that flight and being like, I hate this music.
Dude, Southwest.
I just want to watch Biodome with Pauly Shore. Leave me alone.
That's cool, but let me talk about how much, this is too positive now. Let me talk about how much I hate Southwest and how
How
United Airlines is so
They were desperate.
Superior.
They needed that, yeah.
I love when the Southwest thing happened. Like, I didn't know that you had a thing with them, but I will never forget. You're like, for all of you people experiencing this with Southwest,
I told you so.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Well, because my dad flies for United Airlines.
Gotcha.
He's actually retiring end of this year. Shouts out to Dan Wood.
That's so cool.
But so he's indoctrinated me to hate Southwest. Regardless of, maybe I've flown Southwest a couple times and I've had a pretty decently good experience. No, it's stupid. I hate it. I don't like it. But my favorite thing of my childhood with that is my dad had this shirt, and I wish that he still had it. I would like pay any money. If anybody has this shirt and they're listening to this episode, I'll pay you money to give it to me. It was said, It said, "Fly Southwest, someone has to dance with the ugly one," and it had the United logo underneath it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. And you wear it all the time, like when I was a kid. And I was like, that's such an awesome shirt.
So that was ingrained into you young.
And so now here's my next statement. I'll be releasing some cool new Music Lab merch, and it's going to be, "Go to school rock. Someone has to take lessons with the ugly one."
Yes.
Just kidding.
Oh, I was like,
wow, this went from very positive to very toxic.
I know.
I have some. We'll
get it back.
When I go to therapy, I need to work out why I hate School of Rock so much. But
I was gonna say, like, as you were talking about Southwest, I was like, I feel like last time he was on, he had somebody he was roasting, and then you were like, as soon as you said School of Rock, I was like, oh yeah, now I remember.
Yeah, so many people again. People were like, man, you really hate School of Rock. I'm like, I'm kidding, kind of. Like, I just want to maybe put them out of business, but not in like a, not in like a attacking them way, in like a, my
strictly business
just
standpoint.
So big and so undeniable that, like, why would anyone else want to take lessons there?
Exactly. Well,
and why wouldn't you want that for your business?
Yeah. And we're going to have that ad in Bridgestone. When you go into Bridgestone, they have the School of Rock ads on each side.
Yeah.
It's going to say Music Lab Nashville
one
day.
Let's go.
Dude, yes.
And Nashville Drummers.
Put it in the bank. It's going to happen one day. It's
Well, you've said it now on this podcast, it's going to happen.
When you say things on the internet, that makes it true.
Yes. Well, when you say things on this podcast, they do come true.
Yeah.
Be more specific there.
Yes.
Well, kind of wrap things up. Yeah. I think this has been super helpful, hopefully. I think that's our wish for people listening that maybe are going through their own stuff. For me, some of the takeaways is that have community, like, you're not alone, and you have to be able to just talk to people and also just have that humility and just be humble.
Yeah. And and just know that, like, I'll go back to what Rich Redmond said before I even moved to Nashville. And I drove down to LA and asked him, hey, should I move to LA or Nashville? He ultimately said Nashville, and he said, if you want to make it, all you have to do is just not quit. He's like, I moved here in 92, which is the year that I was born. And me and everybody else that moved here during that time are all doing super big, huge gigs.
Yeah.
Everyone else is gone.
Yep.
Like, you just have to not quit. Like,
stay the course.
Just don't quit. Yeah.
Just stay the course. And that's way easier said than done.
Of course. Like, I think a lot of the advice we've given, although it's, I think, good advice, it's, of course, easier said than done. Like, there's tactics to doing all those things.
Yeah.
Whether it's finding a therapist or getting coffee with someone once a week, or like, there's specifics there that, we can talk about maybe on a future episode.
And I'm painfully aware of how anybody sitting in a particular position, especially the money thing.
Yeah.
I'll say the money thing again because, like, oh gosh, how it's like, well, you're not in my position and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here to tell you that if you really think that you got it, you really want it, like, all you have to do is just keep going. And it's like, things will work themselves out. It's going to be okay. Send me a DM. Send old Uncle Ben a DM.
I was just going to say, man, if anyone out there at all is hearing this and is like, man, I don't know who I should talk to, you can talk to us.
Yeah.
Three people right here.
Yep.
So.
Like you said, send a DM. And I promise, even though my schedule is freakishly, inhumanly busy at this point, I know you guys are feeling kind of the same. I promise that I will read it and give the most thoughtful and honest response that I can.
And just know that you're, like, seen. There's people that have gone through what you're going through and worse. There's people that have gone through way worse situations than, like, ultimately, I've had so many things that have been lucky that have happened to me. Like, the whole music school story, that's just, like, sheer stupid luck. Don't deserve some of the things that happened. But yeah, like, you're definitely seen. One more thing in that same kind of vein. Last podcast, I brought to the table the, what was it? The Calvin Coolidge quote. So this one, I have a new one. And the last one was, like, very, like, intellectual. But this time, so I highly recommend one of my favorite books of all time. I've literally read it to my wife and cried. I'm talking a lot about how I cry on this podcast.
That's healthy.
But
don't be afraid of it.
Yeah, don't be afraid of it. Oh, The Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. Have you guys ever read that book? That drummer who was thinking about moving to Nashville is you. Literally, because like that whole story that it tells is exactly been my mood the past couple weeks since I sent a message to you guys.
Yeah.
That whole message is so true. It's so true as like as far as its take on the journey of getting to where you want to go. The whole section about being in a slump and the waiting place and stuff, which are two separate sections, which I think is very profound. I have goosebumps again. Look at that. And it's also very cold in here.
Yeah.
But
easy to get goosebumps.
Those are two separate sections in the book. And if you go into reading that book and you're like, I'm going to actually look at this from like a very analytical kind of lens, it's the deepest piece of I'm not a big reader, so let's just put that out there. I think it's the deepest thing out there. I think it's so profound, so true, so cool. Every time I read it, it like inspires me. It gets me fired up.
Dude, I love it. I don't know if I have read through that one. I love Dr. Seuss. I'm going to immediately order that. I'll trade you. Read The Alchemist.
Yeah, everyone says that.
I need to
do it.
I need a new book right now.
Do it. That book, it's all about the journey, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. And it's not easy. It's struggle, but it's gorgeous.
So we just provided something for everybody. So for like the very intellectual people like Nate, who can read good stuff.
Who can read.
Like
for kids who can read good.
Bro, I'm proud of myself. I started reading Harry Potter again.
Yeah, buddy. Like,
I don't think I've read a book since the Harry Potter when I finished that when I was in like junior high.
Okay. 400 pages.
If you've read that, then you can read The Alchemist. The Alchemist is way shorter than any of those.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
What's a good point too is, of course, beyond human resources, right? There's so many great books out there, podcasts. I listened to a bunch of non-drumming podcasts. People should check out Jay Shetty. He used to be a monk and transformed his whole life, and now he's like a best-selling author. And his podcast is On Purpose, all about finding your purpose. And he has incredible interviews every week about all these kind of topics.
Yeah.
So
there we go.
Plenty of resources
for the people.
Let's go,
dude.
What you doing come Friday night? This has been awesome. I think this went really well. I mean, we were trying this out for the first time, but we should maybe make this more of a consistent thing.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me back on. Am I the first reoccurring guest?
Yes. Number one.
Can stay
How
away.
About that?
I made it. Look at me. I'm so important and famous. Good for me.
Cool. Well, thanks, Ben. Everyone, check out Music Lab Nashville. Yeah, reach out to
Music
all three
Lab
of
Nashville.
Us.
Trey Landon, listen to the new song. We're blowing up on TikTok, baby.
Oh, baby.
CMA Fest. It's going to be awesome.
Love you. Find that feeling on the radio. Catch a buzz when you slide in close. Holding heaven in a four-wheel drive. Want to get you on a four-low. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Nashville Drummers Podcast. If you liked it, please consider leaving us a review on the Apple Podcast app. Please consider supporting us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you can help support this dream and keep the ball rolling for us. Believe it or not, it's not free or even necessarily cheap for us to make this thing go. To sign up, go to patreon.com/Nashville Drummers Podcast or click the link in our Instagram bio. All of your help is greatly appreciated. This episode was recorded at Diamond Sound Studios located in Nashville, Tennessee.
Check out our new website, NashvilleDrummersPodcast.com. And if you're not already following us on Instagram, you can follow us at Nashville Drummers Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode. Drop it down, take it real slow, counting on them county roads.